John chapter 9. If you're a guest joining us here this morning, we're concluding our church workshops today, entitled Spiritual Vision 2020. Amen. And so from the leadership lesson on Friday to the brothers and sisters session on Saturday, I believe it was truly an inspiring time. Amen. Time of training and discipleship, evangelism, personal devotion to God, even counseling. Amen, family. And now we need to kick off the new year with a spiritual eye exam.
Amen.
So we can have some sharp vision to navigate all the adventures that 2020 will bring. Amen?
Amen.
The title of the message today is spiritual blindness. Now, who here wears contacts or glasses or has any form of corrective vision? Amen, amen, amen. See, here's the thing. I'm as blind as a bat without my contacts. All right? Like, if I take out my contacts, I'm like nearsighted, right? Now, if you, I mean, it's bad. We could live without contacts or glasses, but our vision will be skewed, right?
Yes.
Can you imagine living a life that was out of focus?
No.
Like all the time, just walking around like, you know, this life that's just out of focus. But what's even more convicting is living a life with no hope of clear vision.
Wow.
Right? And sadly, this can relate to our spiritual outlook as well, because without the light of the Lord, we fall into darkness. And we start searching for ways to avoid falling. There's actually a lesson here, an article rather, from a newspaper in North Carolina. In the U.S., there's a state called North Carolina. Kind of like South Carolina, where Ariel's from. And there was actually this story written by a journalist called Going Blind, One Man's Story. And it actually chronicled a gentleman named Ronald Broadnax. He's a 53-year-old engineer. And this guy apparently had an hereditary disease. So when he was 43, he was fine, could see clearly up until 43. At 43, please help me keep my mind. At 43, that's when his vision started to go. He had a hereditary disease called retinitis pigmentosa, which took root about 10 years earlier and started to slowly erode his eyesight.
Amen.
Right? Wow. And so to learn, basically the reporter now was like following how his eyesight was eroding. It was intense, right? And so to learn how to cope with his vision loss, he actually attended classes at the North Carolina Rehabilitation Center for the Blind. And in the article, the journalist talked about some key things he learned from this guy, Ronald Broadnax. And I'll share it with you.
Come on, Andrew.
He says, walking is different and harder when you cannot see. Well, that's obvious, isn't it? Vision plays a subtle but significant role also in balance. People stay upright as they walk because they see problems. Street curbs, uneven sidewalks, tree roots, etc. And automatically, unthinkingly adjust for them. For the blind, however, even walking in a straight line is a challenge. Sighted people make endless tiny course corrections as they cross a street or travel a sidewalk, sometimes veering from the straight and narrow, but always returning to it. Not so with the blind. They tend to drift. Are you drifting this morning spiritually?
Wow.
Because you're starting to lose your sight. He goes on in the article to talk about Ronald's training in the use of having a walking cane. You guys have seen walking canes, right?
Mm-hmm.
It says, to the vision impaired, a cane is more than a tool. It's also a signaling device to others and a warning mechanism to its holder. It is a friend, a metronome, and a figurative dance partner. But more than anything, it's an extension of the senses, providing touch, feel, and sound. A person using a cane isn't just tapping his way down a sidewalk. Under a mentor's tutelage, a cane becomes something like a Swiss Army knife for their blind.
Wow.
A seemingly simple thing whose many subtle uses help them to survive in a hostile, uncertain terrain. Wow, that's intense, right? We need to thank God that we're not physically blind. Are you with me here? Some of us may be able to relate to the challenge of Ronald Broadnax because of different physical illnesses we have this morning. I don't know if you have any physical illnesses. Or any physical challenges. We're going to take a look here in John chapter 9 because whatever you have, whatever challenges, whatever illnesses, whatever different drama you may be going through this morning, it has been given to you by God so that you can glorify Him.
Oh, wow.
Take a look in John chapter 9 because very often we can get bitter and angry at God instead of using whatever challenges we have as an opportunity to show His power in our weakness.
Amen. Come on,
right?
Come on.
Because that's what the Bible says, right? 2 Corinthians 12, right? Yeah. Take a look here in John chapter 9, though. Let's read here in verse 1, starting in verse 1.
This is awesome. Come on.
John chapter 9, starting in verse 1. The Bible reads, "As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' 'Neither this man nor his parents sinned,' said Jesus, 'but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life.'" You know, again, I have to ask you, do you have any challenges this morning that have come into your life? Like, remember, Ronald Broadnax, he was, for 43 years, he had his sight. And then at 43, boom, a hereditary disease comes and his eye starts to go. Sometimes we can be very ungrateful for our physical health. You don't know how long stuff could just turn on. Are you with me here?
Yeah.
I appreciate my wife so much, you know. Patrick is very, very healthy, very, very fit. But when we had our children, she got gestational diabetes. And instead of allowing that to take her out or whatever else, she has like literally become so disciplined. She's always been disciplined, but she became very disciplined with her diet to the point where the doctors were blown away, like, okay, you don't need insulin. We're just going to put you on metformin and you'll be good to go. She has done it, and as a result of that, whatever challenges she's going through, she's been able to inspire other women. Because I think sometimes if life is perfect, then it's like, well, you can't really inspire me because you really haven't overcome anything. Are you with me here? But when you have challenges in your life, sometimes we get bitter about it, but the truth is now you can use that to inspire other people. Are you with me here? What's interesting is that this whole passage talks about this man, and what's interesting is that he now meets Jesus. Jesus goes and heals him, and then the Pharisees, the religious guys, actually investigate this healing. They're like, "What's going on? How did Jesus like heal you?" Right? Now take a look down in verse 39. This guy goes and finds Jesus, right? Because he was like proclaiming the fact that Jesus had healed him, right, to the Pharisees. And so he meets Jesus and he worships him. It's pretty awesome. Amen. But then in verse 39, Jesus says, "For judgment I have come into the world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind."
Wow.
Interesting. "For judgment I have come into the world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Well, are we talking about physical vision here or spiritual vision?
Spiritual.
It's spiritual vision, right? How do we know? It says in verse 40, "Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, 'What? Are we blind too?' Jesus said, 'If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains.'" Wow, what does this mean? I think a lot of people think they know what they're doing.
Yeah, sure.
They think that they have 20/20 spiritual vision, but they don't. They're actually spiritually blind.
Wow.
And they don't realize that. And so instead of relying on God to guide them, they kind of walk through life thinking, "Yeah, I know where I'm going. Oh, yeah, I know where I'm going. Oh," right? And it keeps happening over and over again. And you think they would learn their lesson, but they don't. And this is powerful here because I think in a lot of ways, turn over to Isaiah chapter 44. All of us can become spiritually blind. And at one point, all of us were spiritually blind until we made the decision to study God's word and become a true disciple of Jesus. Amen? God wants to be our mentor, like that the guys who are like rehabilitating Ronald Broadnax. He wants to be our mentor, guiding us through the hostile, uncertain terrain of his life and allowing his word to be that double-edged sword to survive. Amen? But many people don't realize how unstable they can be without God guiding them. And so they trip, they fall, they bang into things because they haven't learned how to walk the straight and narrow path. Instead, they're just broadly just walking anywhere. Are you with me here? And so let's take a look here in Isaiah 44. Isaiah 44, verse 18. This is interesting because the prophet Isaiah here, through the power of the Holy Spirit, he says, "They know nothing. They understand nothing. Their eyes are plastered over so they cannot see. And their minds are closed so they cannot understand." Wow. How about you? Do you remember how your eyes were plastered over in the world? I remember for me, I mean, just thinking, oh, yeah, I can sleep around. Oh, yeah, I can lie and cheat and do all this stuff. And, yeah, it's not going to bother me until God wakes you up one day. He wakes you up one day. And I hope that, you know, for you this morning, God hasn't woken you up to the point where it's not correctable. Are you with me here? But how do our eyes get plastered? I'm glad you asked. Take a look over in Isaiah 59 now. Let's take a look at what the Bible says. How do we lose that spiritual vision? How do our eyes get plastered over so we stop understanding? Well, I'm glad you asked. Isaiah 59, let's see what the Bible says here. It says here in Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2, it says, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. So what separates us from God? It's sin, right? And if you look further down, look what happens as a result of this sin. Down in verse 9. So justice is far from us, and righteousness does not reach us. We look for light, but all is darkness. For brightness, but we walk in deep shadows. Like the blind, we grope along the wall, feeling our way like men and women without eyes. At midday, we stumble as if it were twilight. Among the strong, we are like the dead. So how do we contract spiritual blindness? It's by allowing sin to corrupt our lives, corrupt our vision, and separate us from God. Are you with me here this morning? And God wants to reach out and help us if we're willing to admit where we are, that I don't have 20/20 vision. I am nearsighted. I'm far. I need help. Are you with me here? But sadly, people don't believe that even today. Take a look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to get into our first point, which is actually a question for you this morning. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, you know, a lot of people, they come to church, but they don't really change. They follow traditions, but it doesn't really change the plaster that is over their eye. You know, it's interesting. We're going to talk today about a topic known as spiritual cataracts, which is in your bulletin.
Awesome.
It's going to be cool. You're going to see how all this relates in just a second.
Come on, bro.
2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's read here in verse 4 and 5.
Okay, come on, bro.
So not only does sin corrupt our vision, but what else? 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. It says here, the God of this age, like our brother Nick shared yesterday. Who's the God of this age, family?
Satan.
You got it. The God of this age has what? Blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Okay, so what's the issue here? Sin corrupts our vision, right? And Satan likes that. He wants us to get involved in sin. He doesn't want Jesus to be our Lord. He wants us to be our own Lord.
Wow.
And when we stop making Jesus Lord, brother, when we stop preaching Jesus Lord and ourselves become Lord, now our minds get clouded. We lose any light. Is Jesus still Lord of your life? Or has your eyesight started to become cloudy because of that sin? And, you know, it's interesting here. Without God, you're not seeing the world correctly. It's just that simple. You're literally groping along a wall. And so we want to help you this morning. If you're a guest, we want to help you. And if you're a disciple, I also want to help you that even now, spiritual cataracts are starting to build up on your eye. The sin that you're not dealing with will start to build up on your eye and cloud your vision if you don't pay attention to it. Are you with me here?
Yeah.
And so there are three questions to help you this morning. Number one is really going to determine how spiritually blind you are. Are you with me?
Okay.
Because this is important. Just to be clear, we all can become spiritually blind. All of our vision can start to get affected. There is no one that has 20/20 vision without God. Because we're all sinners. And sin corrupts. Are you with me here?
Yeah.
First question. Number one is, how sensitive are you to sin? Why is this important? Because sin builds up little by little over time. Are you with me here?
Yes.
This is very, very, very important. Take a look over in Ephesians chapter 4.
Awesome.
Ephesians chapter 4. I want you guys to see something here. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to look here, starting in verse 17.
Okay.
Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 17. The Bible says here, Everyone there? Ephesians 4, verse 17?
There.
All right, here we go. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of
their thinking.
I think sometimes as disciples, even as Christians, we stop getting sensitive to our thinking. We think, okay, you know what? I'm not doing this action. But our thoughts and attitudes, are they not going to be judged by God too?
Yeah.
Are you with me here? And so what ends up happening is we stop being sensitive to rebellious or wicked, evil thoughts and attitudes from where the actions come. And we don't even confess those thoughts and attitudes. Are you with me here?
Sure.
Until it gets so bad, it starts coming out of our pores. Right? Take a look. It goes on. It says here, they're darkened in their understanding, separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality as so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ this way. Surely you've heard of him and were taught in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. How sensitive are you to specific sins in your life? You know, for me, I know that one of the key sins my wife always has to help me in is watching out in being defensive. You know, not being defensive if she brings something up. It's, what is defensiveness? It's just pride. You think you should know it, but it got pointed out. And then when someone points it out, you start to look for ways of how she, you know, how they could, maybe I didn't like the way she pointed it out. Or it's all defense. It's all pride. Are you with me here? What is the sins in your life that you're not sensitive to? Maybe it's anger. You're just not sensitive to your anger. You get angry and people are like, whoa, what's going on with you? Right? Maybe it's bitterness. Right? People are like, bro, I can smell your bitterness all the way over here. There's something wrong. You just don't look like you're happy. Maybe it's lack of forgiveness. Maybe it's selfishness. Right? What is it for you? Right? Just if you're married, ask your partner. They'll tell you. Right? If you're single, ask the person who counsels you and mentors you. Are you with me here?
Come on, bro.
This is huge. Just ask them. And they'll tell you because they can see it. They have the Spirit of God in them. Are you with me here?
Yes.
And this is huge because as we live in the world, you got to understand, us living in Johannesburg, we are being influenced by Johannesburg every day.
Amen.
We are. And either we influence them or they influence us. There is no middle ground. You are being influenced. And that's why we've got to be aggressive in influencing the world. Amen. Otherwise, trust me, their influence will seep into you.
Yeah.
Are you with me here? Like water into a napkin, it'll just...
Wow.
It'll just spread right on into you. Are you with me right here?
Yeah.
But we got to be like plastic and like, I'm not letting you get in. I'm not letting you get in. Right? That's what it is. Some of y'all are like paper, like, you just suck it all in. Guys, we got to be careful. But... really, how sensitive are you? You know, are you sensitive to things in the workplace where sadly you start laughing at coarse jokes? Are you starting to take second looks at people who are attractive? Are you starting to become more materialistic or prideful in order to fit in with those around you? See, when you have clear vision, you're able to see the cracks in the sidewalk. But as someone goes blind, things become less clear and they can stumble a bit. Are you with me here? And what ends up happening is that, again, you start to drift. Take a look over in Hebrews, Jacques' favorite book in the Bible. Amen. Let's see what the Bible says here. This is huge, family. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. What does the Bible say here?
Come on, bro.
Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. How sensitive are you to sin? Hebrews 2, verse 1. The Bible reads here. We must what? Pay more careful attention. Therefore, to what we've heard, so that we do not what? Drift away. Are you paying attention to where you are spiritually? That's why we're trying to have a spiritual eye exam today. Amen, family?
Amen.
We need that so that we can be sharp for the Lord. And the sad thing is, though, and it's kind of funny, but it's not, in the fact that very often we pay attention to other people's sins more than our own.
Wow.
Take a look over now in Matthew chapter 7. This is huge because, man, it's so funny how we could, like, we have the vision to see other people's sin, but we can't see our own.
Yeah.
Are you with me here? We have the vision to see other people's sins, but it's like, when it comes to our own, our pride just blinds us. It's crazy. Look what the Bible says here in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 3. It says, Matthew chapter 7, thank you. Verse 3, it says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? Mm-hmm. How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye?
Yeah.
When all the time there is a plank in your own eye, you hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Wow. Guys, this is huge. This is huge, family. We got to make sure we deal with ourselves. Now, mind you, don't get me wrong. We do need to help each other.
Yes.
Right? But we got to be careful we don't have a judgmental attitude.
Amen.
Right?
Right.
And I've heard it said, if you start pointing at someone, just remember you have three fingers pointing back at you.
Yeah.
When you point, you got three fingers coming right back at you. So you better be ready to deal with the same stuff. Right?
Yeah.
And so how attentive are you this morning? Are you attentive to, I know for me, every day I got to be attentive to, one of the ways that I've been dull lately, and I need to do this more, is be more attentive in confessing my sin daily. I want to really focus on confessing my sin because, you know, very often, as I said, I'm not going to be going to some club or committing immorality or getting drunk, all this nonsense, but thoughts can come into my head.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying here? And different issues can come up where I'm like, I got to get open about this, right? How about you? Do you go after, like, just being attentive? Because if you can catch the little foxes, if you can catch the little thoughts, right? And just write it down. It's like, man, it'll help you to be more attentive the next time it comes up. You with me here? Instead of these little specks starting to build on your vision. Are you with me there? Are you attentive in sharing your faith when you're around people? You know, are you thinking, wow, this person's, yeah, they're probably lost. They have no idea. Are you really focused on that? Or are you just kind of just living life? Are you attentive to how much you focus on kingdom activities or just focusing on meetings of the body? Or is your schedule getting so busy that you don't have time for that anymore? Are you still attentive to these things?
Amen.
Guys, this is huge. This is huge. Watch what you see. You know, there's this song when I was a kid. There's a song, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Because your father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Right? Oh, it's awesome. I would have a blast in kids' game if I would do it. Guys, it's so true. But you know, are you careful?
Come on.
Because your father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. And here in Joburg, it's dangerous. Take a look. I'll show you one more scripture in Hebrews.
Come on.
You know, it's the scripture Jock shared this morning. How do we keep our attention focused? How do we keep our attention so that we're not drifting? Well, the Bible gives us the answer here. Hebrews 12, verse 1, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, amen? God is watching, amen, family? Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. We got to get that sin off our vision.
Yeah.
It's clouding us, man. And then let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us what? Fix our eyes on who? Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart.
Amen.
People grow weary and lose heart when they take their eyes off Jesus.
Yeah.
You grow weary and lose heart. Your spiritual vision gets cloudy. When you forget that, wow, Jesus went through all this for me. Because you know what happens is we get into this self-pity, like, woe is me.
Amen.
Woe is me. Oh, man. No, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows my trials. See, some Negro spiritual up in here. But that's how we walk around. Like, y'all don't. It's like Igor. Well, Christopher Robin. I don't know. How are you starting to become, guys? They're looking down. You never notice people are like, well, I don't know. And guys, let me tell you, all fun and games, but, you know, this is serious. And, you know, real depression is real. Sometimes people have, like, you know, you have a dopamine deficiency or serotonin deficiency. Like, this stuff is real. You need to get help with that. I appreciate my brother, well, soon to be, my brother restored, Francois. He's good working on that. Amen, Francois. But you know, it's powerful because you need to get help with that. And sometimes when you're going through that, don't just say, I'm going to fight on, push on. No, you got to get open and you got to get help. I appreciate Arielle. You know, Arielle right now, she's fighting. She's fighting, you know, and I know it's tough. I mean, she's been married for 2 months and then separated from her husband. That is tough. I can't even imagine that. Since I'm so proud of you, just fighting on. I know it's not easy, right? But you know, what does Satan want? He wants you to what? Get what? Bitter, self-piteous, nobody understands me. And stop sharing your faith. Stop giving. Stop being a true disciple. We got to keep our eyes on Jesus. Amen, family? Because it says, for the joy set before him, he still had hope. He endured that cross. He scorned its shame. And as a result, he did not grow weary and lose heart. What an incredible passage in the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
How sensitive are you to sin? Let's keep our eyes on Jesus so we can deal with any type of sin that Satan tries to truly corrupt us with. Amen, family?
Amen.
Number two, is the Bible your walking cane for life? Because if you understand that you are spiritually blind or spiritually nearsighted or farsighted, do you really consider the Word of God to be your walking cane? Because, like Jesus said in John 9, he came so that those who are blind can see. You have to be humble enough to realize you're spiritually blind. Your vision has been clouded because of sin, right? But if you're not humble, if you're proud, you're like, yeah, I can see. Then God's like, well, those who claim to see, guess what? You're really going to be shown to be blind, right? And so if you really know you're spiritually like nearsighted or blind, you need that walking cane. You know, because you want to be able to use it to guide through the terrain of life. Take a look at Psalms 119. Psalms 119. I hope this is encouraging to you this morning. See, the Bible must be what we use to control our thoughts, our feelings, our actions. It's got to be our eyes and ears through life. Amen? Psalms 119. You know, there's a lot of stuff. I know whenever I was going through challenging times, I would get into the Psalms, man. I'd work my heart out. Psalms are powerful. You know, the Proverbs are for your head. The Psalms are for your heart. You know what I'm talking about? Because the psalmist, David and many others, they shared their hearts. And then there was always this, yet I will put my faith in God. You know, it's like that turnaround, like, amen. But he was open. And I think sometimes we think that as disciples, we just, soldier, yes, sir. Show no weakness. Confess no sin. I shall be a rock. No, you're not. Actually, the guys who do that are the ones who have PTSD. And literally after the war is over, they're like totally like shattered. Because they haven't dealt with all this stuff that's been in them for so long. Psalms 119. What does the Bible say here in verse 101? Psalms 119. Verse 101. Let's see what the Bible says here. I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than a honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. The church said, amen. Amen. You know, this is encouraging. What is the Bible supposed to be?
A lamp, a light.
It is our walking cane through life. Yeah. Because guess what, guys? We are shining like lights in the darkness.
Yeah.
When you walk out of this place, it's like, I wish I could just show you how cool this is right now. When God looks down, it's like, he just sees light. Ching, zing, 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 right? And then you go outside, darkness.
Then he pays up.
Ding, 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 ding. You know, it's like, you know, like the X-Men?
Yeah,
he's like,
yeah.
When he sees like the mutants, like, you know, the lights. And then, darkness. And so when we now go out into the darkness, right? We think, well, because I'm a light, I'm good to go. No. Yes, you are a light, but the problem is you need the Bible to be able to navigate because it's dark. And you don't know what you're going to hit. And the sad thing is, the world, because they don't have the Bible, they just keep hitting things. But are you able to effectively use the Word of God to navigate through life? Let me explain what I mean. If I had a walking stick right here, and I closed my eyes and started tapping, do you think I'd be able to get all the way home? No.
No.
No. Because I'd be using my, I don't know how to use this thing properly. I really hope, I mean, at first I'd be like, yeah, I know where I'm going. Right? That's what's going to happen. You see, just because you have a Bible doesn't mean you know your way. You need to learn how to use the Bible.
Yeah, come on.
To be effective with the Bible. To learn how to navigate and to so that when you start navigating through life, you're like, yes, I've heard this. I've heard that sound before. Oh, that's the street. Oh, I've heard this sound. Oh, that's the grading. Oh, I've heard this sound. No, that's going over. That's the grass. That's going to lead out into the pool. I don't go that way. Do you get what I'm saying here? And so, because, you know, the Bible, literally, it is that navigational tool. And I'm like, when you're wondering, what should I do? You can go back here. And so for us here, yeah, I don't know about you, but I know for me, how well can you really apply the Bible to your life? Because it can't just be a religious performance we're having or we're going through. This is really huge. I know for me, one of the key things I've been focusing on lately in my Bible study is making sure that I hate sin. Because one of the powerful things about this passage, look what it says here in Psalms 119. It says here, take a look, 101, are you there?
Come on.
It says here, I have kept my feet from what? Every evil path. See, it's the Bible that tells you what path is evil. Sometimes in our minds, we don't think it's evil. Gossip, slander, maybe that's not that bad. Right? Talking about stuff, that's not that bad. Not sharing our faith, well, it's not that bad. Selfishness, pride, it's not that bad. Instead of really seeing things as evil path, because we obey God's word, we stop obeying God's word. Verse 104, it says, I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. That's the key here, guys. And so for us, we got to make sure we have deep conviction when in regards to using the Bible as that walking cane. Another area we need to use the Bible specifically is in the area of doctrine. Because the world is confused. You know, turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We need to use the Word of God in our life, you know, dealing with life issues, right? But we also need to use it in regards to our doctrine. You know, when we were in Washington, D.C., there's this street, 16th Street in Washington, D.C., that for about 2 miles, there's nothing but churches. There's about 20 churches and two temples in 2 miles. You just see church like this. It's crazy. They call it Church Row. It's crazy. And what that shows me is that the religious world is also blind. I think sometimes we think, oh, well, obviously because you have a Bible, you must know what you're talking about. And obviously because you go to church, you must know what you're talking about. That's a lie from the devil too. Take a look here at 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's see what the Bible says here. Verse 3. For the time will come... 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a great number of what? Teachers. They're actually religious teachers who are blind today. Who are teaching people false doctrine. A great number of them. Teachers who say what their itching ears want to hear. Just tell me all I have to do is pray a prayer to be saved. Just tell me all I have to do is speak in tongues to be saved. Which is nonsense, right? This is huge. It says they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. So we can literally, the issue is they have those spiritual cataracts that hinder their sight. So I've told you before we become a Christian, we can be blind. But after you become a Christian, you can get spiritual cataracts too. I got some pictures to show you here.
Come on.
I'm going to show you some cool stuff.
Cool.
Now, sis? There we go. Here's the eye, right? This is your eye, right? Here's the pupil, the brown pupil that Jacques talked about that, you know, right? But then here is the lens, right? So what's interesting about this is that many physical cataracts start as a small spot or speck on the lens of this eye, right? And so these spots interfere with the light that comes on in, right? And it passes through the lens to be focused as an image on the retina on the back of the eye. Here's the retina back here. This is the retina. So when the light comes in, the image now gets reflected on the retina. Now what's interesting about this is that the greater the number of specks, the more obscure the image, and it causes a clouding of vision. Take a look at the next slide. Can you see that? Is that intense right there? You got to come over to see it. Here's a regular eye.
Sure.
Here's an eye with cataracts. And that all happens because of little specks that have built up over time. Over time. Over time. Over time. Until completely it is clouded. And the crazy thing is, it becomes so dense that the entire lens becomes a milky white. And light rays can't get through the lens, resulting in blindness, right? And it's interesting to note that the light is still there, it just can't pass through the lens. And so the sad thing about it is that a lot of people, they read the Bible, and they're like this. It's like a spiritual cataract.
Yeah.
The Bible's not going through. And so they have these spiritual cataracts of like, oh, pray Jesus into your heart, or oh, you got to worship Mary, or oh, yeah, baptism's just a sign. And they have all these, and it's just blinding them, stopping them from actually accepting the word of God. So some light's coming in, and others is not.
Wow.
Intense, right?
Yeah.
Here's the crazy thing. There's no pain. The loss of vision is gradual. It sneaks up on you. False doctrine can sneak up on you. Lukewarmness in your life can just sneak up on you. And if it's uncorrected, it will eventually result in complete blindness. You know, right now, not sure if you've heard in the news, but the United Methodist Church, the number 3 largest Christian denomination in the world, is about to split. Yeah, it's about to split because the leadership can't get united about having homosexual membership and homosexual marriage.
Wow.
So they are splitting the Methodist Church, the number 3 largest denomination in the world.
Sure.
Because some people just have cataracts that cannot accept. They're not willing to accept the biblical principle that marriage is a man and a woman. Are you with me here? And homosexuality is sin just like any other sin. Are you with me here? And so this is convicting, guys. The sad thing about it is that not only in the world, false doctrine, but spiritual cataracts can happen in the kingdom of God as well.
Yeah.
Where we start to look at each other, and instead of having a clear vision of each other, the way God sees us, we start to look at each other with kind of funny vision. You know what I'm talking about right there? We start to look at each other like, we get all suspicious. It's your vision is getting clouded.
Yeah.
That's what happens, guys. Like the planks I was talking about. We see the speck, but the plank is literally right there. We don't want to deal with it. I want to encourage you. If there's any issues that you have with brothers and sisters today, get open about it. If you're studying the Bible today, please, you don't realize your eyes are, you have cataracts. We want to help you remove them. Amen? We want to help you deal with
Amen.
Them. Because otherwise, if you don't remove this cataract, those who are disciples, you're going back from a sheep to a wolf. Those who are coming in, we're trying to help you to go from a wolf to a sheep. You know what I'm talking about? But the scary thing is that as disciples, we can turn back from sheep into wolves again. It's scary. Last thing I'll show you here is this. This is real, and this is also very sad. You know, you look at this, and what's the problem here?
Squint.
Spirit, lazy eye. Lazy eye, right? This is real stuff. Now, why do I show you this? Because remember I told you about that syncretitis stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You want to love God, and you want to love the Word, but you also love the world,
mm-hmm.
right? When you say, oh yeah, I'm going to follow God, I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. I'll keep this one on Jesus and another one on the world.
Wow.
That's you. That's spiritual lazy. I know it's kind of funny, but try not to laugh. It's real. It's real. That is how you look to God. When you say, I will come to church, I will read my Bible, but I'll also hang around with friends that are going to be doing wicked things, doing things that I know isn't right. Are you with me here?
Mm-hmm.
Has worldliness got into you? Are you starting to drift towards the world? Even though you know, oh, this is right, this is right, this is right. Are you starting to drift? Is your eye starting to drift? You may not be completely gone. See, now you're making me laugh. You may not be completely gone. But that's what happens is one eye is going. Is that the way you see it? I'll take that picture down because I think that might be too much. Amen. Amen. Last point, guys.
Come on, bro.
Last point. We're going to close on out. Where is your spiritual vision this morning? Amen. Y'all want to laugh. Just let it out and then let's work on it. All right, now. So again, number one, how sensitive are you to sin? Right? Are you really keeping your eyes on Jesus? Both of them, not just one. Number two, is the Bible you're walking came for life? Are you really using the Word of God to deal with situations, whether it's false doctrine or whether it's life issues? Really discerning what is best. But the key thing to understand from that is, wow, does the Bible really, is it helping me to hate sin? Or am I still kind of tolerating it? Because what ends up happening is, if you have sin in your life, you may know it, but you actually aren't, like, you feel like you're not overcoming it. So what ends up happening is that you keep knocking, like, you know those toys? They keep hitting the wall over and over, right? That's like what we're doing. We keep hitting the same sin over and over again, and things aren't changing. Why? Because you don't hate it.
Wow.
That's the reason why. You're not dealing with it. And the same sins keep coming back into your life, and you accept them in. And then you wonder why your life is the way it is. Last one. If you get it, if you're sensitive to sin, if you're allowing the Bible to be your walking cane, now we've got to accept the responsibility to help others as well. Turn over to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, spiritual blindness. Where are you this morning? We got to make sure we're have some sharp vision here going into the new year. Isaiah 43. You know, in order to learn how to cope with his blindness, this guy Ronald Broadnax I told you about, he needed a guide that would teach him.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting? Like, he's going blind. He's like, okay, I've never done this before. I need you to show me how to use this cane properly, and I need you to guide me.
Wow.
Is that the same way you are?
Wow.
Are you allowing others to guide you? And are you allowing yourself to be the guide for others who are in the darkness? Isaiah 43, let's see what the Bible says here. It says here in verse 8, lead out those who have eyes but are blind, who have ears but are deaf. You know, I think the problem is, and I think the brothers did a great job sharing about this yesterday, is that we don't really believe that people are blind. We don't really believe that they're deaf. We believe that they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Either that, or we believe that since they're not going to change, I should let them just grope along a wall. Just let them just kind of bang into things. Have you ever watched someone just like watch someone else just get hurt?
Oh, wow. Yes.
Have you ever watched that?
Yeah.
Like, oh, maybe you'll learn your lesson once you fall down. And they're sitting there. They're actually taking, like, not satisfaction out of it, but they're just kind of watching them like this. That's what we're actually doing when we stop loving people enough to lead them out. It's like we're just saying, okay, yeah, just keep hitting the wall, boing, hitting the wall, boing, and we're sitting there. Ha, ha, ha. You may not be laughing, but that's essentially what you're doing. That is convicting to me. You know, it's, you know, sitting and studying the Bible with Levi last month and seeing him become a disciple was amazing. And now to know that his brother-in-law, Jean-Saint, is now studying the Bible. Where is he today? I don't know. He must be caught up somewhere. He's where? Ah, oh, we'll get him. But, like, now he's studying with Jean-Saint. Be praying for Jean-Saint. He's going after. I'm praying he's going to break up with his girlfriend. He's going to go after doing what's right.
Amen.
But, you know, guys, I know that Levi now has got to lead him out. Who are you leading out in 2020? It's time to get fruitful this year, guys.
Yes. Come on.
Seriously, it's time to get fruitful. I had a conviction. I'm like, listen, 2019 was not going to end before I was fruitful. It was so awesome. This brother from Lagos, Kingsley, he was, oh, I don't have the picture to show you, but he was the first baptism in 2019. And she's like, Andrew, do you have pictures of my baptism? I'm like, yeah, bro, here you go. So he's the first baptism of 2019. And because he's just celebrated his spiritual birthday, I think on the 13th or something like that. And so recently, he just got on. Sorry? Yeah. Recently, he just got on, came on as a ministry intern for the church. And so now he's a ministry intern. And now he studied the Bible with this guy, Thomas, and he got baptized. And now Thomas is the first baptism of 2020. So it was awesome. He baptizes the first. It was so encouraging. So he's like, yeah, bro, look at this. Like the first baptisms, 2019, 2020. Is that awesome right there? Yeah, that's him. That's him, man. Oh, man. It's just so, and we met Thomas back in February. And he made it now. And he made it. And so, guys, you need to have your pictures. You need to have the people you're praying for. You're begging God for. And that's why for me, even in December, I'm like, man, I'm not going to let this year end out. I want to be fruitful in December. And God gave me Levi.
Amen.
And so for us, who is it going to be for you? Like mentors at the North Carolina Rehabilitation Center for the Blind, you too are called to lead others through this hostile terrain of life. Amen. Let's close out here in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. We'll close out here. Amen. I don't know where you are this morning, but I pray you have the humility to really trust God and His Word for your sight. We may not understand where we're going. And I know even 2020 has started this year already, whether it's visas, dramas, all this stuff going through, you may not understand where God's leading you. But I want to encourage you to trust Amen. Him as He guides you. Are you with me here? In Mark 10, verse 46, the Bible says this. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see."
Yeah.
"Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. You know, for us here today, you've got to ask yourself, wow, how badly do you want to see?
Oh, wow.
How badly do you really want to see? How badly do you really follow Jesus? You know what's interesting? First time he said, "Hey, Jesus, have mercy on me." Did Jesus come? No. It wasn't until he came going after it. He's like, "All right, call him." Sometimes God will test you to see how much you really want it.
Yeah, that's
true. Kind of like the situation with the spit on the eyes. He's like, "Do you really want to see? Do you want to see clearly? Do you really want to see clearly? Because if you really see clearly, are you now willing to change the things that God is exposing to you?" Some people actually want to have a state of nearsightedness because by having that state of nearsightedness, they don't have to fully change. They don't actually have to deal with everything in their character. Are you with me here? Do we really want 2020 spiritual vision as we start a new year? Then get help, guys. Get open about the sins that are in your life. It is time to perform that spiritual eye exam. Sanctify yourself by God's word. We've all spent enough time groping along the wall, right? It's time to be led by the Lord. Let's 2020 start with 2020 vision as we keep our eyes on Jesus. Amen. I love you with all my heart.